Turn with me, please, in the Word of God to the Gospel of John tonight, John's Gospel. And we'll commence reading the second chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 2. And we'll commence from the verse 23, almost at the end of that chapter, read into chapter number 3. I want to speak tonight on the subject of religion without regeneration. That is what is taking place here in this well-known account of Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. And we want to look at this subject before us tonight and pray the Lord will speak to our hearts as we come before his word tonight. So let's take up the reading, John chapter 2 and the verse 23. Now when he, that is Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. There's a wonderful lesson there even in that one verse. But we'll not take time to go there tonight. Verse 25, and need it not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Amen. We'll end there at verse 13. We pray God will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we come to his word for tonight. Heavenly Father, we praise Thee this evening again for the Word of God. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for the inerrancy of that Word. Lord, we thank Thee tonight that every word from God is true. We thank Thee, Lord, as well for the instruction from the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that tonight as we come to consider these verses, Lord, this well-known, familiar account of this ruler of the Jews who came to Jesus by night. God, we pray that you'll speak to us. We ask especially tonight for those who are still held in nature's darkness tonight that you will be pleased, Lord, by thy Holy Spirit to do that work of regeneration that is necessary in the heart. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you'll strip away all the veneer, all the outward appearance, all the show of religion that men and women might seek to put up as a defense to God. No, God, we pray that tonight you lay sinners bare. We pray, Lord, that even as you did with Nicodemus tonight, we pray that you'll speak and speak very clearly. And this night, O God, we pray for the help of heaven to divide the scriptures of truth. We pray, Lord, for the understanding of the Holy Spirit of God, to take in, to comprehend what you'd have to say to us. Oh, come and speak to our hearts tonight. Do us good. Lord, we pray for the help of heaven. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. Come to our aid tonight, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. One of the great plagues and scourges of modern society and present Christianity today is what I would term organized religion. Religion that goes under the guise of Christianity. Because let's face it today, in this society, if you're not a Hindu, if you're not a Muslim, then you're just a Christian. And you fall into this broad category of Christian that goes under the guise of organized religion. Such a term tonight covers a multitude of people. And it covers for what passes today in modern Britain as religion. Nicodemus was a religious man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a member of the intelligentsia. He was part of organized religion in his day. He was an authority in all things. He was rich. He was a man who was respected. He was a man who was religious, a man who was a ruler. But you see, the problem was that Nicodemus was not regenerated. And there is a vast difference. He was a man who was morally upright, but also a man who was downright sinful because there was no work of regeneration wrought in his heart. He is really, in the scriptures, the classic example of a man with religion, but without regeneration. And there are so many Nicodemuses tonight in our society. So many who have religion. So many who have an understanding and a knowledge of the Word of God and call themselves Christian, and yet there is no work of regeneration. What does regeneration mean? It's one of those gospel terms that can often roll off the tongue, but what is it? Well, very simply, regeneration is the implanting of the new life within the heart of man. That point when a man comes to realize his own sinfulness and his need of a Savior, and his life is transformed, it's regenerated. New life begins. Regeneration, born again. They're all synonymous terms. They all mean the same and one thing. And it is our intention, therefore, tonight to consider from these verses at the end of chapter 2 and into chapter 3 of John's Gospel, to look at this great subject of regeneration and see how that it differs so much from religion and how it is so vital for any man and woman tonight to be right with God. You see, tonight, even in this city, and even in this area and district, there are men and women, there are young people, older people. And all that they have tonight, all that they're holding on to, is religion. Religion of whatever sort, religion of whatever creed. There are men and women who went to a church today, and they believe that that religion that they have is enough to merit favor with God. However, the Lord Jesus Christ here in this conversation that he had with Nicodemus showed to us and to him that you can have religion up to your neck and still be bound for hell. You can have all the forms and all the trappings of Christianity. But if there has never been a work done in the heart, then tonight you're not saved. These verses give us a very clear description and detail concerning the work of regeneration in the heart of a sinner. And I pray that tonight, if you're here in this meeting and this work has not been done in your heart, I pray that before you leave this place tonight, that you will see your great need, and that God, by His Holy Spirit, would work in your heart and life and take you away from religion and regenerate you, make you a new creature in Christ. Religion without regeneration. Just 2 points I have tonight concerning this subject. I want you to see, first of all, the necessity of it. When we come to consider this matter of regeneration, we're dealing tonight with something that is basic and that is so fundamental. In order for you or I to be saved, then there must be this work of regeneration wrought in the heart. You see, this is not a matter that can be airbrushed out of the equation. This is not something that can be dispensed with and forgotten. This is something which is necessary. This is something which is applicable to all mankind. The new birth, the work of regeneration in the heart, is absolutely essential. Let me show to you why. First of all, we see it from the Scriptures. John chapter 3, the verse 7 presents before us one of the clearest, unmistakable verses on the necessity of the new birth. Ye must be born again. This is not some religious leader who's saying these words. This is not even one of the apostles or the disciples of Christ. These are the words of Christ Himself, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, and He says, ye must be born again. The imperative is used, it's a command. You see, tonight, this is not a subject for debate. This is not a take it or leave it situation. This is not something that can be disregarded as you wish. This is something tonight which is absolutely essential. Listen, if you're ever going to be in heaven, if you're ever going to have your sins forgiven, religion's not going to do it. It's only the work of regeneration. If you're ever going to know peace with God and this life and the life that is to come, then ye must be born again. Verily, verily, the Lord says, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Of course, this was not just a command that was issued in the times of Christ. This has always been the command of God. This has always been the way that a sinner is saved and made right before God. There has never been any other way from the fall of man in the garden to the consummation of all things when the Lord comes again. There has never been any other way but the work of regeneration. The Old Testament patriarchs, they were all saved and brought into the family of God because there was a work of regeneration wrought in their hearts. All the great characters of the Old Testament were saved because there was a regenerating work done in their hearts. There was new life planted within them by the work of the Holy Spirit. There was not one way that they were saved, and another way that we are saved. There's not one way that they could be saved by their adherence to the law of God. But the only way they were saved, the only way we are saved, is by this work of regeneration. From the beginning of time to the end of time, there is still only one way. And that is the work of regenerating by the Holy Spirit of God in the life of the sinner. The prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 13 and verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? No. No. Because there is no way that any human effort or any human endeavor can ever save your soul. Every sinner must be, if they're ever going to be with God in heaven, must be born again. How tonight is everyone that is singing around the throne of God in heaven, how and why are they there? Because there's been that moment in their life when they have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. And that old life of sin has been replaced by the new life in Christ. And they've entered heaven because on earth they were regenerated. They were born again. They experienced this new life. So the necessity of regeneration is seen from Scripture, seen from the very lips of Christ Himself. Ye must be born again. Listen, sinner, tonight, ye must be born again. There's not only the Scriptures that tell us that we must be born again, but as well we see the consideration of the sinner. When we consider what we were by nature, when we consider that we of ourselves could do nothing, absolutely nothing, to make us right before God, I believe tonight, unashamedly and unapologetically, in the absolute depravity of man, there is nothing good in any one of us that could merit any favor with God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. All have gone out of the way. It's not just that there was some wee spark of good within your life or my life. And it's just a matter of the right circumstances and the right situations and hey presto, you've got new life. No, there's nothing. Your life or mine, that is of any merit before God. And when we think tonight of our blackened, darkened heart, of how depraved we are by nature, then it will make the work of regeneration all the more glorious. And we'll see it's all the more essential. We could contribute nothing to our salvation. We who are saved tonight, we contributed nothing to our salvation. We contributed nothing to that work of regeneration that is within us, apart from what Jonathan Edwards quite rightly says, the sin that necessitated it. But you see, it wasn't a matter of us working in connection and in conjunction with God and coming together, and then we were regenerated. No. It was all a work of God. It was all a work of grace. Nicodemus was going ever to be saved. It was not through any efforts or any endeavor in his part. Such is the darkness and the blackness of man's heart that we'll look at in a moment. And the Lord knew that. Turn to those verses that we read at the end of chapter 2. Particularly notice the very last phrase of verse 25. There are those who would tell us that Really, verse 25 should be part of chapter 3. We know the chapter divisions are not inspired, so there's no error there at all. But in verse 25 we read, speaking of Christ, we'll read verse 24, "But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any man should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." The Lord knew the dark and depraved soul of man. He knew that man was dictated to and dominated by sin. He knew that man's heart was totally inclined only to sin, that there wasn't any hint of good within man. Christ knew that man was held in bondage. Christ knew that man was held in captivity to his sin. And then to demonstrate that, he goes on in chapter 3 and says, there was a man. In other words, there was such a man who was darkened and depraved in his sin. A man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He knew what was in man. And then he says, there was a man. There was such a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. You see, sinner, tonight as you sit in this meeting, God sees your heart. Here was a man who was hiding behind the cloak of religiosity. Here was a man of great respect and great renown in Jerusalem. Here was a man who was highly regarded. People would have spoken well of him. But here was a sinful, darkened sinner. Old people looking upon Nicodemus would have thought, well, maybe, oh yeah, he's a good man. He's a candidate for heaven. But the Lord knew what was in his heart. That's a fearful thing, really. It's a fearful thing for sinner and saint that the Lord knows our hearts. The all-seeing eye of God, and sinner, as you sit in this meeting tonight, you might be hiding behind some cloak of religiosity. And tonight you might be hiding behind some cloak of respect and regard that you have in community. Well, you come to this church or you go to another church, you've got religion, you've got an outward show, but the Lord knows what's in your heart. And as he sees into your heart tonight, he sees nothing but the deadness and the darkness of sin. The Lord knew what was in the heart of Nicodemus. The Lord knew that here was a man, despite the respect that he had in community, he was a sinner in need of the work of regeneration. Here was a man that if he did not have the Holy Spirit work in his heart and life, if he was not born again, he would be bound for hell. We can look on the outward appearance, we always do. But it's the Lord who looks on the heart. And I pray that tonight the Holy Spirit would strip away all the outward appearance that you're putting up. Perhaps you've sat for years, brought up in the things of God. Everything seems fine. Everything seems all right. And you've even convinced yourself, like I believe Nicodemus had convinced himself, that he had everything that was necessary in order that he might be right with God, because he was doing everything right as he thought. Maybe you tonight are fooling yourself into thinking that you're all right. You don't need this work of regeneration. You don't need to be born again. Well, we see the necessity of it not only from the consideration of Scripture, but also from the consideration of a sinner, because the sinner's heart is darkened. Let's go and look now at the nature of regeneration. What does it do? What does it involve? Because as we come into chapter 3, And go through these verses, we have some of the essential truths concerning this work of regeneration. We see, first of all, that it's an inward work. Look at the conversation that takes place between Christ and Nicodemus. He can't understand the mystery of the new birth. Notice the question that he asks in verse number 2 and then again verse number 4. How can a man be born, verse 4, when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, he was trying to understand things in the physical realm. He was trying to apply his rational, reasoned logic to the things of God. That never works. We're not dealing with natural things when we come to salvation. We're dealing with the supernatural work of God the Holy Spirit in the inward heart of man. You speak to people today about being saved and about being born again. They cannot grasp it because all they see is the physical and they do not understand the spirit. That's why we often pray that the Lord would take us out of the realms of the natural and bring us into the realms of the supernatural. Believer tonight, that moment that you were saved, it was a supernatural, sovereign work of grace in your heart. What Nicodemus needed to learn was that the work of the Spirit of God was an inward work, a secret work in the inner life of the soul. Couldn't understand it, but it was an inward work. The Holy Spirit uses the illustration of the wind there in verse number 8 to bear this truth out. Like the wind, the inward work of the Holy Spirit is not seen, but it's evidenced by its effects. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. You see, a genuine work of the Spirit of God is more than a mere reformation. People talk, and quite glibly talk today, even in religious circles, about turning over a new leaf, doing better, trying harder, stopping the drink, stopping the cigarette, stopping the gambling, all the rest of it. You can stop all of those things and still have a heart darkened, dead in your sins. If there has never been the inward work. You see, regeneration is not some program of rehabilitation to get you back on your feet. Regeneration is not some process of social improvement or social betterment. It is an instantaneous act of the Spirit of God when new life is implanted in the dead soul of man. Nicodemus knew all about religion. He knew all about education. He knew all about theology and all the rest of it, but he remained spiritually dead until a divine and direct work of the Spirit of God took place within his heart. It's an inward work. Verse 3 and 5, we see as well that it's an indispensable work. We read those words again, ye cannot. Ye cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Here we see again the depravity of man, the total depravity of man. Verse number 3, we see that man's a darkened mind. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, sinner, if you were left to your own devices, you would never be saved. If I were left to my own devices, I would just sail along helplessly on the sea of destruction, never see my need to be saved. Because my mind's darkened because of sin. The sinner, you see, is in total blackness and darkness. The sinner needs light. And the light is revealed in the Word of God. The light too is Christ. But not only does the sinner need light, the sinner also needs sight. You can come into a darkened room. You can switch a light on. But if you cannot see, then you can't see the light. So you not only need light, but you also need sight. That's what Nicodemus needed. He needed light and he needed sight. Spiritual light, spiritual sight. He needed the eyes of his understanding to be opened because he had a darkened mind. We see as well in verse number 5 that he had a disabled will. He cannot enter. Speaks there of activity. That's why I say that we need more than a mere reformation. Why? Because every intention of the heart of man is only evil continually. Only evil continually. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Left to yourself, you would wander on aimlessly in this world and the end of destruction. You have a will that is inclined wholly, entirely to sin. Do we not see that played out on our streets, in our neighborhoods, in our communities? Sinners left to themselves make a ruin of themselves. That's what sin does. He needed a new mind because the natural one was darkened. He needed a new heart because the natural one was deceived. He needed a new will because the natural one was disabled, and he needed a new birth because the natural one damned him. It's an indispensable work. But it's also an irresistible work. We come to verse number 8, back again, this illustration that the Lord uses about the wind. How striking the Lord uses this illustration here. You see, the power of the wind is irresistible. You can go out on a gale force wind. We were supposed to have one on Friday, and I didn't feel it. And it seems now if there's any sort of gust of wind, they have to name it. But you can go out onto a windy day, and you could stand out there in the middle of the Sandown Road, and the wind blowing around you, you could say, stop wind, and it'll not stop. You'll see its force, and you'll see its impact, but there is nothing that you're able to do to stop it. You can't summons the wind. You can't soothe the wind. You cannot bid the wind to cease. But when the Holy Spirit works in the heart of a darkened sinner, thank God, it is an irresistible work. Thank God tonight for irresistible grace. Praise God tonight that when the Holy Spirit illuminates, enlightens the dark and dead soul of man, there is nothing that's able to stand in the way. No force of hell is able to resist the power of God in salvation. Thank God, dear believer, for that moment when we were saved. There was nothing we could do to resist it. It was irresistible. And you see, the Lord can turn over every barrier and remove every hindrance. And I pray that tonight, if you're in this meeting without Christ, that the irresistible work of regenerating power of God would take place in your heart. Remember how Lydia, that Sabbath afternoon down by the riverside there in the city of Philippi, I believe that Lydia, by the words that are recorded for us there in Acts 16, I believe that she had resisted the Holy Spirit before, but that Sabbath afternoon she couldn't resist anymore. That day when Paul went down, or Saul as he was then, went down that road to Damascus, He could no longer kick against the pricks. The irresistible work of the Holy Spirit wrought new life within him. Thank God tonight for the irresistible work of God in salvation and regeneration. Oh, that tonight that would be your experience. It's an inward work. It's an indispensable work. It's an irresistible work. We finish here with where we started. It's an imperative work. Imperative. This is not an optional extra. The Lord was not setting forth before Nicodemus just something, another way, an alternative. It might be that this week that lies ahead, there might be a few alternatives have to be thought about. But anyway, that's enough about politics. When it comes to the gospel, there's no alternative. When it comes to your salvation and my salvation, there's no alternative. There's no plan B. Ye must be born again. There is no other way that you can be saved but by the regenerating power of God, the Holy Spirit. You see it tonight. Have you the experience of the power of the new birth? Have you experienced the regenerating power of God within you? Or are you still in your sin, still stumbling around in the darkness of your sin, still covering yourself with respect and thinking it all will work out all right in the end? Remember tonight, it doesn't matter what this preacher thinks or what this preacher says, God sees your heart. Just as he knew what was in the heart of Nicodemus, he knows what is in the heart of all men. You'll not give an account before me of what you've done with God. Yes, I will have to give an account of what I have done with him. I'll have to give an account of this service tonight. But I will give an account of my own life. You will give an account of your own life. You will stand before God, the great judge of all. And as you stand before him, how will it be? John 3 goes on and contains for us that wonderful gospel verse. Verse 16, God so loved the world. This world that was darkened and depraved in sin, God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You need not perish tonight. You need not die in your sin. But you can have everlasting life, this new life, this life that is found alone in Christ. Don't stop short of salvation tonight. Get before God on your knees and humbly, earnestly cry unto him, and don't get off your knees until the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart and life. As we close tonight, let me ask you a question. What do you have? Is it religion, like Nicodemus? Or is it regeneration? Religion will take you to hell. Let me say it again. Religion will take you to hell. But thank God, regeneration tonight will take you to heaven to be with Christ. Therefore, what do you have? Religion? Just a reformation? Or do you have regeneration? Has that work of grace been wrought in your heart? May God, by his Holy Spirit tonight, regenerate your soul. May God, by his Holy Spirit tonight, open your darkened mind and that you might see Christ. That you might realize that of yourself you can do nothing to see the kingdom of God or enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Born again. What a term. What a term. I've said it before. I get a little bit uneasy when people say that we should start using new terms in relation to salvation. I would just prefer to stick to the Bible terms. And the Lord says you must be born again. And tonight, he still says you must be born again. You born again? Born from above, born of God. If not, then tonight come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. Let's bow in